There you go. That's right, NFL Australia. There you go. And that's right. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. I am. You might know me. I don't know. Editor of codebet.com.au. Good website, that one. You might see my mug in the paper. That's a bit of a worry. Jesus. You can also see me on Fox Sports Lab NBA with my good, good friend, Ben Dixon. And my other good friend, Carlos Boozer. Two-time NBA All-Star. Here in Larryama Studios, just chilling out on the other side of this here iPad, it's a bloke who's now got, basically trying to figure out how to fit 8-0 across his nuts, waits until it goes to 16, because he's got the 6-0 already there. It's a bloke who's basically got Jalen Hurts as a tramp stamp. He's got the fly goes fly across the back, across his entire back like a big fucking angel tattoo. It's a man flying himself. It's a sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle. He's my mate. He is your mate. It is Gaz. Gaz, we're at the halfway mark. How you doing?
Mate, I'm doing all right. It's so long ago, I don't remember what fucking losing feels like. It's just... Sorry, mate. Sorry, I had to go there. No, it's been a good week in football. I'll touch base on how I did the old Eagles game this week. We did some live, got out of the house, got to watch it with some other fans, and it's been a good, interesting, fucked up week in football. So chaos. We should probably talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the thing. We went in this week going, it's a bit weird, guys. It's a bit weird, and it was fucking weird, but it was also really entertaining. So. All right, week 9 is done, though. Aaron Rodgers, I'll tell you what, he's more cooked than your old man Snags. Joe Mixon is a boost. Seattle might win the fucking NFC East, West. Alone, I think last week was like, can they make the playoff? They might win the division. And, of course, your Eagles, still undefeated. We're going to wrap up week 9, set you up for week 10. We're halfway through, so what we'll do is some yeah nahs. I'll hit some yeah nahs for MVP, Super Bowl winners, favourites, etc. All the good stuff. Throw it all out there. Get right around it in one dumb drunken. Not drunken today. I've had no booze because I've been sick for 3 days.
You can probably tell with my voice there, Gaz. My voice is a bit weird.
I'm drinking for the both of us, Jimmy. For the both of us.
Whiskey. Right. We'll set you up for week 10. That's it. So episode 58. Nine. There you go. 59 of NFL Australia. Let's go. Oh, it's not my fault. They keep giving me all these shitty quarterbacks. Oh, it's not my fault. I mean, come on, just because I wanted these quarterbacks. Oh, hey, this is Frank Reich, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, Gaz. Oh, another coach fired. Another one down. What's that, 2 for the year?
2.
And we're going to see
both of which were on our, like, pre-season list.
And we've still got Ron Rivera's still got a job, and Cliff Kingsbury for the moment has a job. I don't know
guy in Denver as well for now.
Denver, look, they are just sort of sitting there going, it's fine, everything's fine. Cliff Kingsbury, look, to be honest, the fact that he hasn't been fired this week is a bit wonky, but I don't know. Here we are. Either way, some random thoughts from week 9. It was. Wild, awesome week. I'll tell you what, my favorite thing, week 9, also the 5 a.m. starts. Thank fuck for that.
Yes.
Thank you to America and their daylight savings finally kicking in. We don't have to do the 4 a.m. starts or the 5 a.m. starts. No. But we're halfway through the season. Look, I've mentioned this before. My favorite time of the NFL season is about week 5, week 6, because it was the best time for Sunday football because you've gotten into your groove, right? Like, the chaff has fallen by the wayside, Gaz. Like, we're all going out and getting shit-faced on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon. What are you doing? And, like, the blokes who are, like, the girlfriends, like, do you have to go hang out with your friends on a Sunday afternoon again? The ones who are left there week 5 or 6 are, like, hardcore. We're here to watch football, get shit-faced, have a fucking good afternoon. And... like, the rest of the season still, like, it holds a lot for you. Week 9 is where it starts getting hairy, right? You're like, holy shit, how did it make the fucking halfway mark already? And I wrote this in, posted a column today, just quickly, which ties into, I guess, today's show as well, really. That's a bit of synergy, Gaz, a bit of synergy. Yeah. Talking about the halfway mark MVP, the odds of the Super Bowl and shit like that. And my favorite line, I think, from it was like, seriously, what the fuck have we learned from halfway? Like, halfway because this week just threw a fucking wrench into the thing. The entire thing, it was chaos. Anyway,
Frank, what you were going to say? It's funny. I thought you were going on that whole fucking rant then, and you were going to tell us about week five. We start to work out what the fuck's going on, but you were talking about being on the booze with your mates. Yep. I thought you were trying to say that we've worked out, you know, which teams are settled in and we know about. And I'm like, mate, we're a week fucking nine. I've still got no idea about half these teams.
Basically,
I've got literally a pick for later that I just went, what the fuck? I've got no idea what team to pick. Because these two
how's
teams
that,
just
how's that any
you don't
difference
know who's
every
up?
Week though. So.
Oh fuck, it's out of control. Anyway.
That's fine. But no, seriously, that was kind of like the start of my point. Then I just started remembering how great Sunday football was in the States and like how great it was. Which you got to experience this week, but a bit of Friday arvo.
Yeah.
Love that. But the vibe is, yeah, it's like you start learning shit about teams around week five, week six. You know who you can trust, who you can't. You should be like halfway through the season going, right, I have at least, I don't know, five certain things in my head.
Yeah.
I think at this point we have
none.
one, maybe. Like,
yep.
And those might be Carolina probably won't win another game. But they're going to make another fucking quarterback change and who knows what's going to happen, right? Oh, Baker Mayfield playing for his life.
Yep.
And the other one other sort of watching them play on this week, Indy might be just sneakily the worst team in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Just saying. Anyway, Frank Reich got fired and was replaced by a bloke who gives us all hope, Gaz, because, I don't know, you've never coached an NFL team before. I've never
or
coached an NFL
team
before. Neither is Jeff Saturday. So he's now the coach of the Colts. So
coached some high school.
Gnarly.
Yeah. Apparently, got the job just because he's a good bloke.
Jim Irsay just likes having him around.
Just, remember how you used to hand the ball between your legs to Peyton Manning for like 13 years and we did really
time.
Well there?
That was a good time.
Maybe we can win some games again. Back on that.
Just do that.
Just tell him what I was like. Just tell your guy, that fucking Illinger guy, just to be Peyton Manning. That'll be fine. Anyway.
But I'll tell you what, I think, we'll get to it in the game wrap, but yeah, this week's just horrible fucking showing was like the final nail in the coffin. Like, they'd already fired their offensive coordinator then. It's
exactly.
Who's to blame for this one, Frankie? He's like, oh, I guess it's probably me. Anyway.
Yeah, but you can't replace, we'll talk about it later, but you can't replace mediocre past their prime quarterback with mediocre past their prime quarterback and expect to continually take the team to the playoffs. I don't know.
Anyway, Joe Mixon, he had 5 touchdowns. That's
pretty good. Not for anyone who was playing against Joe Mixon in fantasy fucking football.
Tough week.
What if we have someone in our league playing against Joe Mixon and Travis Etienne on the same week, you poor fucker?
But Mixon, like, that also ranked as one of the greatest fantasy days of all time kind of vibes and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So, tell you what, that's one way to get back into the winners' books for the Bengals. It's like, you idiots. Maybe this is what you should have done last week.
Yeah.
Instead of costing Jimmy a bunch of money. Anyway, Justin Fields looking good. He was unreal. He's out there setting records as well for the most yards run by a QB in a game.
178, whatever it was.
Unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, he looks fucking good doing it. Like, Fields just has, like, there's an athletic quality to him where he looks like CJ2K or something. But he's also a quarterback. Like, Robert Griffin had a hint of that. But even Cam Newton, I feel like he was almost, he'd have that athleticism, but he also was almost a little bit too big. So he never had just that sheer shiftiness that Fields had, where it's just like, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's like, fucking hell, the dude's incredible. Whereas Kyler Murray is like built like a fucking bowling ball. And like, as soon as someone said, like, he runs like a toddler who stole someone's phone, like, I'm never going to think of Kyler Murray running the same ever again. Like, it's exactly what he does. Aaron Rodgers, speaking of changes with the guards, he sticks.
Wow.
3 INTs in that first half. 2 in the red zone, guys. That was...
That one to Aiden Hutchinson, where all he had to get, does a dude by himself, just get it over the top.
Just had to throw it over the top.
Like, just like standing there.
Like 10 feet short. It was fucking horrible. And that was to like the weird, that was a weird trick play as well, wasn't it? David Bakhtiari, I think, off the O-line. Calls in eligible and boom, still fucking screwed the pooch. Mahomes, they pull out a win out of their ass. And I reckon he might have made himself MVP front runner with that. The odds back me up there. He also was the only running option for that fucking Chiefs team, though.
Yep.
Ripped off like 63 yards, basically, in like the, what that off six fucking runs at one point. And it's a bit of a worry, though. I love the Chiefs, and I think they're still like one of my picks, like Super Bowl picks at the moment, because they feel like a team with probably one of the highest upsides. But, well, I mean, with between them and the Bills, like when they get down, I'm just not trusting them at the moment. Like they just get this weird look on their faces, both Mahomes and Josh Allen, of just like, wait, this is not how it's not meant to go. It's like, we're meant to be up 14. And now I'm unstoppable. It's like, wait, now I'm down 8? What the come on, man. And it was a weird week for both of them, but Mahomes came out shining. We also had trades after we recorded last week, right, that came through. Bradley Chubb, Claypool goes to the Bears, which was hilarious. My favorite part, though, was how Green Bay came out after all this. It was like literally reports on ESPN. Green Bay nearly traded for these guys, and these guys. But they didn't. It's like, how the fuck is that? What? They nearly traded and they didn't. I mean, that's why
I like the follow-up story.
I nearly
story
hooked
to
up
that.
With Giselle, but I didn't. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, what?
I love the follow-up story to that of actually the reports coming out of what the Packers offered the Steelers for Claypool, which was identical to the Bears, and the Steelers just went, yeah, nah. Yeah, nah. We're not giving Rodgers any weapons. So, but the weird one, how's that? How? There were some mind-blowing moves for me. I get the fire sale mentality, and I get the all-in. You know, as we said last week, Naheem Hines went to the Bills, who wanted some extra depth and blah, blah, blah. Robert Quinn went to the Eagles. But how do you sign a quarterback for $250 million and then halfway through, like Bradley Chubb doesn't come along every fucking year,
nope.
Right? If you like, that's a full rebuild sign after spending $250 million on a quarterback. And the other thing was the Bears. Like, how do you get rid of Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith and then turn around and trade four weapons for Jussie Fields, who then looks awesome? And you know what could have got him over the line, Jimmy? A defense that didn't allow the opposition offense to put up 35 points.
Exactly.
Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn could have helped that. I just don't fucking get the mentality.
Yeah, so, but this was also like the most active NFL trade deadline we've ever had, right? Like, so.
Oh, it was nuts. It was Chubb, like every couple of minutes.
Yeah, that Chubb trade actually included another player. It was Chase Edmonds, right, from Miami?
Yeah.
As well as the picks. It's like one of those things like, oh, fuck, all right. But they got,
and then the one of the most
first rounder out of four Chubbs. So it's like, ah, man, it's a price where you're like, yeah, fuck it. All right, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But Miami was fucking all in, man. They made multiple moves, and if you look at that, you know the stats that came up. They for what was it? Was it Jeremy Tunstall? They got the
So
there was the three first rounders that went
Laramie
to
Tunstall, the one that they traded off, right? And it was all the bong mask. Picture draft night. And the trade that they got, where he moved on, they got three first rounders essentially out of that. It's, you know, turned into Chubb,
and it was
Hill and was it
Waddle?
Waddle? Waddle, yeah. It was
Waddle. Waddle. Yeah, they traded up for Waddle.
It's like, yeah, not a bad return. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson, obviously, all from Detroit off to Minnesota.
Yeah.
For a second and a third. Yeah, it
was
like,
the
Calvin
most complicated
Ridley trade was a weird one.
I was
too.
About to say the most like, complicated fucking trade out there. Well, if he plays and if he signs, we'll pay you this. But if he doesn't, we'll pay you that. So yeah, Calvin Ridley, who is, for everyone who lives under a rock, is on a full year suspension for gambling, got traded from the Falcons to the Jags.
Yeah, Naheem Hines goes to the Bills as well.
To the Bills, yep.
That was another one I just remembered, sorry.
Yeah.
It feels weird because it was like, it was the end of last week. Jeff Wilson replaces Chase Edmonds at Miami. It feels like that's a great fucking move, but I think we mentioned that last week, didn't we?
Yeah,
but yeah, the Calvin Ridley one is just weird. You're like, oh, if he's ready to play next year, like they just got a fucking steal, right? Like one of the better fucking wide receivers in the NFL. And
yep.
Here we are. Anyway. So it was a bit chaos. Loved it, but my favorite was Green Bay doing nothing. You go, well, we nearly did things. Like, cool. I can see why Aaron Rodgers thinks you're all fucking idiots. What else we got? OBJ? A
couple of extras. OBJ is supposed to be cleared in the next 2 weeks and has already been linked to a bunch of teams. Bills being one of them as a contender. Rams about that signing back with them because they could obviously need a lot of fucking help to see this as a lost, not being a lost season. But the two closest are probably like the Giants have no wide receivers. So it was it was apparently Gettleman was the whole fucking reason why he left the Giants in the first place. So him gone, he wants the city of New York to win a championship, but also the Cowboys. You could see him playing for the Cowboys, and the Cowboys apparently investigated every wide receiver on the market, have looked at about 4 or 5 different free agents, and OBJ could be good. But I'm, in my opinion, stay the fuck out of the East, please.
I love it.
The other ones, a couple of points that picked up for me was Josh Allen.
UCL,
pulled up sore,
right?
At the end of that game. Yeah.
Rubbing his arm like, oh, geez, my fucking arm's a bit sore.
Yeah, so he's got some tests coming back in the next couple of days. They expect to know a little bit more, but that's not great. It was kind of, even with a loss, you're like, he's got eight interceptions at the moment in the season, but you're like, it's still everything that he's putting on paper still has him as front runner for the MVP, and then if he loses a game or two, that could be enough. And the other one, Baker subbed in. We've seen the Baker again. Baker. And now, on top of that, Sam Darnold's cleared to play again, mate. Sam Darnold. Also, PJ Walker, fucking terrible again. So, quarterback carousel continues at Carolina. And the most important random thought is, who the fuck cares?
I love it. No, so what's the adage? If you've got two quarterbacks, dude, you've got none. What happens if you've got three? You've got seven. I don't know. Like, if you've got
and
three,
none
you're
of them
fucking
can play.
Free. I reckon you just, you know, wrote, like, get one more and play one in every fucking quarter. that's the way to go about this. Fucking
but Baker came in and threw touchdowns, and then it's kind of garbage time bullshit that's going to make him look and feel all good about himself and warm and fuzzy. And anyway, and then the other one that, oh, I mean, it's in blue, which usually means it's my note, Jimmy, but you can take this one if you'd like.
I've just left it there. That stays there.
Week in, week out, mate. There's one undefeated team, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles.
They tried their hardest not to do that this week, so let's get into some game wraps. Game wraps,
I'm more than happy to approach that one.
Eagles, Texans. So
start with that one.
You're watching this in a pub with a bunch of Eagles faithful in Richmond here in Melbourne.
Fucking awesome. Mate, it was a cracking day. It was a cracking day.
I was busy working and putting out some...
I know. Someone had to put out some content for the world.
Also had some fucking problems with the content world, but that's all right.
Yep.
But
so
this was close. It was tight at half time. It was on.
Yeah, so NFL Australia, like as in the NFL in Australia, and the Philadelphia Eagles put on the first official watching parties this week. So there was one on the Goldie, there was one in Richmond, and there was one in Auckland. And old mate Gaz left his house and popped down with a whole bunch of Eagles fans and watched the game. And it was fucking awesome, mate. Benny Graham came along. There's a couple of AFL footy players there to watch at least some of the game. And it was just all round a fucking good time. So, fingers crossed there's a bit more of that and there's more marketing into the Australian market. But it's good for everyone that that happened. But then the game happened. Didn't start out great, let's be honest. Mills marched down the field. But after halftime, let's be honest, it was the switch got flicked. Dallas got it, kicked ass. And the Eagles walked away struggling and still won by double digits. So... not much more that you could ask for.
Well, I mean, you could ask them to cover.
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus. I had a couple of bets that were, I was like, nah, we'll do more than the line, right? What was it 13.5, 14?
Points. Yeah. Lines are pretty big. 12. Shit, they'll smash it. They win by 12, 29-17. Yeah. Bit of a disappointment if you ask me. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You and all your Eagles mates can go fuck yourselves. So.
Yeah.
Because, I was feeling pretty good, and I think we smashed a couple of the picks as well that we had for this preview, because like we do a lot of Well, I do a lot of previewing stuff for the Friday morning games, right? So, because we get a little bit of run-up and off we go. Yep. Goes up Thursday usually, ba-doom. And had some nice ones for Eagles, had some really tasty looks.
Yep.
A lot of them were tied in at 13.5. Motherfuckers. Anyway, what can you do? Eagles 8-0, Texans 1-6. On to Sunday, Monday's games. My beloved Patriots. Should I spend as much time as talking about this one as you? Nah, this was horrible. This is a horrible fucking game. The worst part was it looked like the Patriots might bottle it until we finally sort of got rolling in that second quarter and had them shut out. Look, they only kicked a field goal all fucking game. That was up because I think, what do we had? A fumble, basically. And the sort of nail in the coffin was like the interception return. And yeah, cool. Awesome. Mac Jones, though, still a bit of a worry, guys. Look, I didn't sing too many praises or anything last week because that was more on the defense, beating the Jets. Mac again this week. You kind of like, what happened to the dude last year that was sort of had a bit of confidence, was slinging it? Like, I don't want to panic. I don't want to freak out because he's still coming back from his injury, right? We got that under control. The run game's good. The defense is good. You can beat a shit team like the Colts at the moment. No Jonathan Taylor. A rookie QB who I alluded to earlier. The way he was used was like, shit. It's like the entire reason you got rid of Matt Ryan from, or just sat Matt Ryan, went, right, you're getting sacked all the time. You can't move. We need a little bit of mobility. We'll bring in the young dude. Ellinger's basic fucking forte is meant to be like moving a little bit, bit athletic. Off you go. And he got sacked 9 times. what the fuck? Like, his like net yardage was like something fucking just horrendous.
It was like 40, I think it was 40 something yards because there was like 90.
43 because he lost 60 yards 90, in sacks.
Yeah, there you go. It's
fucking brutal. So I think there's some record setting shit in this game. Like, it's like the lowest like yard, like points, yardage, like just moving the ball, like just getting nothing. Like, it was just horrible. So
I didn't watch this game. I listened, but I did listen to the game wraps from around the NFL podcast, and their first comment about this was it felt like this game took 6.5 hours.
I was still watching it going, why the fuck is this still happening? Like the squid and I, like, he's sitting at the kitchen table, and I had this on the iPad.
Yep.
And he's like, Dad, is this one still going? Are we going to win? I'm like, yep, we're fine. He's like, it's still going though. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just, it doesn't want to fucking end.
Yeah, they said no one on the Patriots offense should be walking around celebrating that win. The defense can do what they like. 100%. Was it Judon and Judon someone sacks. Else had six, Judon, six sacks
Judon
between
was amazing.
Him
like, there was a moment where they actually sort of threatened, right? Where it's like, because it would have only been like 16-3 or whatever. And they're marching, and Judon just fucking blew through everybody, had Ellinger back like fucking 20-odd yards. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
And I just like, you know me, I love Judon. I love the big red fucking sleeves. It's awesome. Yeah. Off he goes. Great times. But yeah, the Patriots just don't fill me with confidence. But either way, look, couldn't happen to a better team though, the Colts. They can go get fucked. fucking look, and I will love this that Belichick will always try to bury them as much as he possibly can for the bullshit of Deflategate. 2017, the Chargers held on against the Falcons thanks to a game-winning field goal. There was like a weird thing at the end of this one. You're like, what the fuck happens? But Herbs kept him in it. Loved it.
Yeah,
he's all banged up. The Falcons covered again, I think, in this one.
Yeah, no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams.
They're basically signing practice squad dudes to play, and it was just a little bit chaos. But Chargers, look, somehow they're 5-3. They should not be 5-3 with the amount of injuries they've
doesn't
got.
Doesn't feel like it. Yeah.
I don't think they're very good. But this is like the problem whenever you look at someone like the Falcons, if they play someone that's like even vaguely half decent and has like, I don't know, some shit they can just pull out of their ass, like the Chargers sort of seem to do. The Falcons will play them close, but sort of shit the bed sometimes. And like Cordarrelle Patterson had the 2 touchdowns. That was pretty good. But Jussie Herbs.
Good to have him back.
He was 30 of 43, 245 yards. Obviously still coming back from injury. Just doesn't look right.
Mm.
But
yeah,
just gives him something. There's just, it's like the opposite of Mac Jones, right? Mac Jones is meant to be this, I'm going to be very solid. And Jussie Herbs is like, watch this. Yes, this is fucking awesome. I fucking love him. Anyway, similar vibes. Dolphins 35, Bears 32. This is the Juzzy Fields. There you go. The Juzzy Fields game. 178 rushing yards. Absolutely fucking amazing.
Wow.
And really, like, the Bears probably should have won this, but there was some fucking, like, the pass interference that wasn't called. It was Claypool, wasn't it? Where he got basically bear hugged down to the ground. Yep. And it's like, it's like literally the most fucking textbook fucking pass interference you'll ever see. But Tua was pretty good. He had the 300 yards. Jeff Wilson is like their only good rusher. But Tyreek Hill, it's like he can get 100 yards in his sleep at the moment. Like, he had 143 in the touchdown. Excuse me. Still sick, tell you that much. Waddle looking pretty good too. But, I mean, the Chicago defense just sort of held them just enough.
Enough.
Just enough.
Get this close.
Like, that fourth quarter was amazing. Like, I was watching
just
in
trance.
They
can't possibly win this, can they? There's no way, right? Because they came back. They were coming hard at the end there. And you're like, oh, can they? No, but you're right. Tyreek's hit. He's the first receiver to 1,000 yards this season, right? And he's done it in 8 weeks. Jesus Christ.
Can play. Anyway. Yeah. He had a sick flip as well when he scored that touchdown. That was good.
That's pretty good.
Bengals, they smashed the Panthers 42-21. That was just garbage time at the end because Bengals just smashed them. It was like 35-0 at halftime. 35-0.
Yeah. It makes it look closer than it. Yeah.
The best part was, it's like, oh yeah, cool. Rushing touchdown. No, it's still a receiving touchdown. Rushing touchdown. Just off he goes. And this is the thing. It's like why it's so infuriating the week prior where they get beaten by the Browns. They just didn't lean on Mixon as much as they possibly could with Chase out. It's like, cool. Use the run game to fucking let T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd get a little bit open.
Get free. Yeah.
Away you go. And that's not what they did.
No.
But Joe Burrow, you know, it was all right. But Mixon, that was all him. Enough about that game. Panthers stink. Packers, they lost to the Lions. That was funny.
What? I'm sitting there watching that just going, nah, surely there's just going to be something fucked at the end of the game. It's less than a touchdown.
They're going to get there. Oh,
they're going to get
there.
They didn't get there.
Yeah. We'll talk about Rodgers later, but
yeah.
Not great, Gaz. Not great.
No. But Dan Campbell, got to be happy for that guy.
I'm happy for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
The other big shocker.
Talk more on that later, too.
Other big shocker, Jets, Bills 2017. The Jets win it outright a week after getting beaten by the Patriots. Are the Patriots better than the Bills? Question mark. This was the difference, right? They didn't give the ball away three times like they did against us. So, like, Zach Wilson just sort of, he looked that much more composed in this game as well. So, having gone back and watched it, it's just like, because I'd watched snippets of it in Red Zone as it was happening.
Mm.
But then as it got close, I'm like, fuck, I'll keep watching this. And watched the rest of it, and Wilson just looked better. Like, he didn't have to do much. Their defense was awesome. And Josh Allen, as he said after the game, was like, well, I played like fucking shit, man.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, he did. His interceptions were bad, just looked a bit wonky. And this is kind of the thing that I mentioned earlier, right? When Mahomes and Allen both get down, you don't have that sort of same sense of confidence that they can lead the comeback. No. Even though you should, because they're immensely talented. They should be able to do it.
Yep.
But they both have like these weird games. Like, we saw the Bills lose that Jacksonville game last year. They had like the loss to the fucking Patriots, right? Like, just these weird fucky games. Where if you just
the Colts
beat them up and
fucking
fuck
them up. Colts beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, when you look at this sort of Bills game, and compare it to, as you said, the Patriots last week, it was literally a thing for just the offense of the Jets not to fuck it.
Exactly.
That's
fucking
what
up.
It came down to. But
interceptions and away you go.
Well, that's it. But as much as there was the first two picks were edge rushers in this draft, is it an open and shut case that Sauce Gardner is defensive rookie of the year?
Kayvon Thibodeau still come hard. You've got Aiden Hutchinson.
He had a bunch of injuries. Like, he was out for a fair bit of a few weeks early in that season.
Thibodeau, what about Jordan Davis is hurt as well, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He'll be out 4-6. But I don't think Sauce Gardner's allowed a touchdown. And he's
He leads all rookies of it, like in passes defensed.
Defensed. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like he might lead like all corners in passes defensed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Gnarly, it's fucking ridiculous. And then he's got the picks, and then he's got the. He's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah.
There was one thing that I was talking about. When the Jets were something decent years ago with Darrell Revis and that sort of stuff, it was built on a fucking don't fuck with us defense.
Yep.
And it feels like Robert Saleh's like putting that kind of together first, and then the offense. And imagine what they would like that defense, and then Breece Hall still being around would be kind of interesting, kind of spicy in the second half of the season.
Yeah, it sucks to get hurt. The weirdest part is they play the Pats again next week, right? So it's like, well, after the bye,
yeah,
but yep. Still like, it's still fucking weird. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, the Bills. I don't know, it's just because of their lack of a run game, right? Like, it's just, you have that moment where it's like, Singletary does sort of a little bit of something, but you just don't have that one dude just go, bowl a bunch of dudes over, would you?
Yeah.
And they go to a trade for Nyheim Hines. Like, well, that's not that dude. Yeah.
Cook's supposed to be
James
there.
Cook, yeah. He's meant to be the, the discoverer out of the Australia, backfield. And away he goes. Yeah. But yeah. He's, what is he, a rookie, isn't he?
Like, yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah. He's Delvin's brother.
Yeah. So it's not quite.
They're expecting him to. He's going to be the pass. He's still not going to be the every down. Like, he was never slated as the every down back. He was going to be that pass catching threat to add a little bit of spice. But he's not going to come on to the end of the season, right? He's still that rookie finding his feet. But yeah, look, I just think it's the same as like when the Eagles eventually drop a game. Like, no one's under this misconception that the Eagles are going to go undefeated. It's just impossible to stay up there. So the Bills are going to stay on top of everything, every game. It's just which one you're going to fuck up against and how much are people going to overreact.
It's also, right? Though, like, you play against a half-decent defense like the Jets, though, it does sort of give you, like, I don't know, blueprints. Always worrying. Speaking of blueprints, the Commanders have a blueprint on how to give away leads. Oh, boy. You like that, guys? You like that? Basically, the field goal to win. What? It was like 17-7 they were down.
Yeah.
And they came back and won this.
Heineken again.
And boom. Get the win. Kirk Cousins shirtless on the plane home. Fucking losing his mind. Love to see it.
Jesus Christ.
Anyway, my look. I still don't want to kibosh anything, but the Vikings were a favorite of mine going into the season to win the NFC North. Feel pretty good about that at the moment, but anyway.
Still will not say anything positive about him.
That checks out. Raiders, they blew a massive lead against the Jags because the Raiders stink, and guess what? Who's their coach, guys?
McDaniel's one and done.
Joshy Mackey D's.
I was like,
he stinks.
I watched
they
it.
Stink. This team stinks. Fuck off, fuck. Vegas.
I was watching Red Zone for this as well because I could watch all the bits of all the games because there was no Eagles game on fucking Sunday this week. And mate, I was like, holy shit, they've come back like red hot. This is done, fucking over in the first, in the first half. Well, they started off, was it 20 zip up or something?
17 zip.
17 zip up. And you're like, ah, well, they'll take this home. The Jags have just fallen off a cliff, no structure, blah, blah, blah. That heartfelt warmth of Dougie P, as you said last week, has just fallen away. And then, oh, here we go.
The Raiders.
Eddie
really
N again. Eddie N just fucking drove through them. It was Christian Kirk's like running sweet ass routes and got a nice little vibe going with T-Law, and all of a sudden they pulled one out. Like, Jesus, here we go.
Yep, they needed that too. The craziest part is kind of still in the AFC South, those Jags. Anyway, Seahawks beat the Cards 31-21. Geno, love it. But this is really a lot of Kenny Walker and just like them running over the top of the Cards at times. It was awesome. I love the Seattle team. I really do.
It's really up. It's come out of nowhere for me. Like, before this season,
there is a column with my name on it saying that they weren't going to win over 5 games. And they're already 6-3.
Oh,
so.
Shit.
Yeah, that was actually one of the vibes that we're thinking about for this week. Was talking about, like, the you know, the surprises. So we might, you know, whip that one out for next week. But like Seattle are that one team. Like, there's always one bolter, right, that comes out of fucking nowhere that actually looks awesome. Yeah. Seattle are that team this year. The one that looks really fucking horrible after being pretty good last year, that's probably Indy. Titans threatened to do that earlier in the year, but what, they're still, what are they now? Still, 6-3 they're 5-3, but they've still got like a minus 9-point differential, which is hilarious.
Yep.
But yeah, like the Raiders were expected to be good. They're shit. Like, it's just, there's a couple of weird ones like that. The Jets, not expected to be good. They're good.
Yeah, you know,
it's the flip side. So swings and roundabouts, but the Seahawks, my favorite thing is they're fun. Like, their defense is fun. The offense is fun.
Pete Carroll,
they're kind of fun.
Oh, Pete Carroll honestly looks 10 years younger than he did at the same time last year.
Did you see him jawing with the ref? Like, he and the ref were talking, and then he was shitting with Buddha Baker, right? He's like giving shit to Buddha Baker. Then they dap it up at the end. You're like, this is, I fucking love Pete Carroll when he's not playing
just
the Pats.
Fucking getting into it. When he doesn't have Rusty, who is clearly the fucking wet blanket. Now there's all these reports coming out, and you're just like, he just was the wet blanket. Don't you reckon?
Yeah,
it's like
when
a
you work
young,
with somebody
spicy
where it's
team.
Like, yeah, you, it's when you work with somebody and it's just a fucking draining your energy, and you're like, oh, fucking sick. And then they go away on holiday or something. Like, a week later, you're like, fuck, I love working here. This is sick.
It's like when you're the old guy who's been there for 40 years and all of a sudden they hire like a bunch of 25-year-olds and like, come on, mate, it's Friday. Let's go to the pub. Let's fucking knock the top off a couple.
Anyway, the Cardinals stink. Anyway. They're still
on. Well, how was that one? There was like, so now Kyler as, well, he was on the sidelines like getting into it with
DeAndre Hopkins.
D-Hop, right?
Robbie Anderson like had minus 4 yards in his entire time with the Cardinals. Like, not great.
Yeah,
and Cliff Kingsbury somehow still got a job. Bucks Rams. This is the big game. The big game. What a shit house game
horrendous.
This fucking was. It was so
horrible.
Bad. I got mates back in the States like messaging, going, Jimmy, why are you watching this? Like, you've got other things to do. This is like an actual, like, this is during your day. We're just like hanging out drinking beers. And like, well, I don't know, because I like football, but. Boom.
I mean, it got tight at the end, but that first three quarters was fucking gross.
It was waterboarding, but football. It was so tough. It was just really tough. Like, how many punts were there? It was like 9 punts in a row at some point. It's just like,
there was...
Anyway.
Yeah, there was like three field goals for the Tampa Bay for like, what, 3 quarters and
14 and a half minutes.
14 and a half minutes.
And then, Brady, runs that fucking touchdown drive and they win the fucking game because he's Tom fucking Brady. And that's just what
you
do.
Two fucking teams without a fucking run game.
Unbelievable. It was...
Jesus Christ.
What is it? 2 one-legged dudes in an ass-kicking contest? Like, that's what it really felt like. It was... Was it 44 seconds left, and they go 60 yards, and they score. Unbelievable.
That's fucking ridiculous. And, like, the Rams just went straight into, you know what? You know what won't at all bring out the old-school Tom Brady? Just go into full prevent defense with 40 fucking seconds on
Has
the
Has prevent defense actually ever prevented anything, guys?
No,
like,
much.
Question I got for you.
No, much.
But, these teams are fucking tough to watch. And, anyway. But I'll tell you what, the game... After that, the Sunday night football game, Chiefs Titans was fucking electric, kind of.
Wow.
Like, it was a bit of a slog watching, Mahomes go, we've got no run game. I'll just do all the running, and also I'll throw 68 times. Like, I had, so one of our picks was like over 255 yards for Pat Mahomes. He's only gone under it twice, I think, all season. And I'm like, that's cool. And he had like 130 after the first quarter. I think that bet might cash. Shit, we might be right here. But Malik Willis, every time he took the three-step drop, you're like, well, what's going to happen? Like, where's this going to go? He'd say, like, his directions were perfect. He's just like, I'm going from pole to pole with my throws. I'm going sideline to sideline and nothing else. Absolutely. And it's like, to be honest, that's fine. He threw for 80 yards, 5 of 16. That's not his clear strength, obviously. His rushing was also good. He rushed for 40 yards. Yeah, Derrick Henry going for the 2 early touchdowns. But it was just Kansas City in the end. Just too many weapons, right? They were just too... anytime they needed to sort of get that really important down, they got it, right? And it was too much in the end, like whether it be Kelce who ends up for 106 and Mahomes. I mean, you throw the ball fucking 68 times at 43 completions, 446 yards. So, yeah, you're moving the ball a little bit sometimes. So, but it was telling. Yeah, it was telling, I thought.
You were talking before about builds of quarterbacks where you were talking about the shiftiness of Jazzy Fields and Cam Newton and Kyler Murray. Fuck, Malik Willis looks like a fucking running back or a tight end. He's built like a brick shit house, right? And the guy can move. But this started off early. It was like, what was it? 10 zip, like pretty quickly. And then we're like, the Chiefs are going to fucking drive this over now. This is going to be fucking done by halftime. And then they're just like, hand off to Desert Henry, fucking 40 yards, like burst through the middle. You're like, oh yeah, nah, it's never over with him, is it? No. It's never fucking over. And it actually took some balls and some chutzpah that needed to come out from Mahomes in like coming towards the end, touchdown. Scrambling in for that. Was it the 2 point?
It took like five. They gave them five chances basically at the fucking 2 point. It was just like, what is going on? The fix is in. Yep. That's fine. But Jesus.
Kelce missing the fucking. So after last week's debacle about the penalty because of the removed helmet, and Kelce threw his into fucking. He put a hole in the fucking ground with his helmet. Anyway. He's Kelce. He can do what he wants.
But they pulled that one out of their ass. It's just like, the Titans, look, they were massive underdogs in this. It was like 11.5 line. And they sort of just went, right, well, defensively, we just kind of know how to play these dudes. They felt confident coming into it, and they nearly fucking beat them.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, the Chiefs, like, Harrison Butker missed, like, a field goal in there as well and a PAT, and it's like, all right, this doesn't bode well. Like, anytime you're leaving points on the board, like, just there's nothing out of that drive. It's going to be a problem. Obviously, it comes back to bite them in the ass because they probably would have won in regulation had they just kicked straight. But anyway, fun game. Titans, I don't know, they showed something there, which is kind of nice. So
yeah,
I did not expect it because we saw them steamrolled earlier in the year by the Bills. Much better team. Chiefs, on that same level as the Bills, basically thought they'd fucking roll them. They didn't. So Vrabel, just like, fuck yes, right there. And the last one, today's game, Ravens 27, Saints 13. This is a bit of a punish as well, really. It felt like every time you turned around, the Ravens just had the ball again. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Andy Dalton sucks. I think I messaged you halfway through just going, Andy Dalton's fucking horrible. He's so bad. The worst part to me, guys, is that he looks like if someone did a face mash of you and me. I do not like it. It makes me worried, and I hate it, and fuck Andy Dalton.
Fuck, you know what? It's fucking weird that you say that because he was walking off at
fucking beard. Makes me angry.
He was walking off at halftime and he's now got like a fade haircut thing. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, that's me with Jimmy's beard if I was a ranger. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's not great.
His beard sucks as well, though. I'm just like, fuck off, Andy Dalton. Like, anyway, he was horrible. Weird. He was horrible. Kenyon Drake was unreal, and he got my opponent in fantasy the fucking win, so that's a bit annoying. But Chris Olave showed me a little bit of something, but Andy Dalton, just he had so many fucking chances in this game and blew it time and time again.
And Lamar just with no weapons, right? Lamar's he had fucking like, got no one out there. No Bateman, no Duvernay, no fucking I'm just gonna do it myself and hand off to Kenyon Drake. That's exactly right. Entire offensive plan.
Their entire like receiving core is just like who
decimate. Nah, Andrews, who the fuck Andrews,
is
that? Gone.
Andrews is not playing in this one.
Touchdown. The first touchdown was by that rookie Likely or whatever his name Likely, is.
Yeah, Likely, right. So anyway, this game sucked. Ravens though, it's just one of those things you go, their defense is pretty fucking good when they need to crank it up. They add Roquan Smith to it. You've obviously already got Marlon Humphrey. You've got the rookie Cole Hamilton. He looked fucking amazing on like a callback interception, I think it was, or a fumble return. Justin Houston was unreal. He had like three QB hits. He was just fucking everywhere. Marcus Peters, Calais Campbell, who like what back from injury, I think last week. Calais Campbell, and Calais.
Justin Houston busted through at one point. And like, is the guy's like 35 years old and he busted through and like nearly put Andy Dalton 6 foot in the fucking ground. Yep. He buried him so fucking deeply. It was awesome. But
yeah, 2.5 sacks himself. It's just fucking immense. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's weird to think that like it doesn't feel like we've talked enough. Yes, yeah, we talked about Lamar's first 3 weeks and he was putting up 30, 40 fucking fantasy points. And you're like, oh, he was red hot early MVP favorite. But we haven't really talked about the Ravens too much as a team where you'd think they were sitting 6-3, right? Yeah. But they're also, because usually we're talking about their injuries.
Games out of their ass.
Yeah, but they're also that team that, as long as they're close enough when it comes to playoff time, if they get healthy at the right time, they're right there to knock off a couple of teams, right?
Sounds like somebody read my article from this afternoon, because that's exactly what I said. There you go.
I don't read your shit, Jimmy. Sorry. All it does is remind me that you make picks in this week, and then like 3 days later, you change them on me. That's how you fucking beat me.
I think I smashed you this week. That's right. Yeah. But I think that's the thing, right? They had that weird loss against the Dolphins earlier in the year, which is just fucky. They smashed my Patriots. Like, that wasn't even close. They lose that weird close game to the Bills, which was just fucky again. They lose to the Giants in another fucky game. They beat the Bengals in a fucky game. They beat the Browns in a fucky game. Like, everything they do this year has been fucky, and they're 6-3. That's why we don't talk about them, because it's so hard to get a grasp on. Like, they don't have a dominant defense yet because they've been so banged up, but they've been just good enough to win the games because Lamar's a fucking magician. And as long as he's healthy, they're kind of in all these games because he can just make, chicken salad from chicken shit at this point. It's, like, absolutely incredible. And if this defense, you know, adding Roquan Smith, like, they could just get fucking good. And that's what worries you, like, going into the back half of the season, right? Like, if you just build a dominant defense on the fly with, like, the building blocks they've got, that's the exact recipe for fucking, like, actual playoff success. So... Yeah, I don't like it because fuck the Ravens. Anyway, let's do some yeah nahs. We'll do some halfway mark yeah nahs for you. It's halfway through the season. Gaz, are you ready?
Oh, I feel so, because I feel like there could be a bit of my team mentioned here, so I'm going to get into it.
All right.
Strap in.
MVP, Hurts over Allen Mahomes. Yeah, nah.
I've gone around so many fucking in-depth conversations around this. I'm going to go with nah, only because... it feels like Hurts has been surrounded by an actual good team this year. Like, we've got a defense that's keeping people close. It's not relying on him to do everything. So I think, like, down the line, one of these two boys is going to just, like, carry their team red hot into the playoffs, and it's going to be one of those boys. But right now, I'm like, you can't really discount what Hurts has done. He would have put up more. He was benched at the beginning of the fourth quarter against the Steelers. He's got 2 interceptions all year, 3rd highest passer rating. Fuck, to say he's taken the jump is huge. But what about Geno? Fucking Geno's up there, mate.
Geno's 31-1.
There you go.
The vibe, though.
Get that shit off there. Tua?
Hurts. I don't know. My argument for this is, if they're 15-0, if they even finish the set, look, actually 15-0 is probably a bad one. If they're 15-1 and finish the season 16-1.
Yep.
And they don't lose like one of those last 2 weeks in just shitty fashion and sort of brush it under the carpet.
Yep.
Like, I think it's going to be very hard for people to go, yeah, I don't know about that quarterback of that 16-1 team. Like, I think
that no one knew would have a starting job at the beginning of last year.
Like, right, yeah. That's kind of the argument that I'm looking at in terms of the value, like where he's at pricing wise when it comes to odds and shit as well. Like, you just sort of go, the value's there because if they keep rolling and you look at their schedule, what, the 2 toughest games, you've got the Giants, Cowboys, you got 2 Giants games, the Cowboys game, there's a Titans game, but
yeah, Cowboys, yeah,
you know that one of them will be a spoiler.
Yeah, of course. Oh, look, I've got no confidence,
but
yeah,
if it's not,
yep,
like, it's gonna be hard for him not to win the MVP anyway. Comeback player of the year. You mentioned him. Geno Smith.
Geno.
Over. Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. Yeah, nah.
Look, mate, they're all fucking up there, aren't they? Travis Etienne is actually starting to into a couple of conversations as well, because remember he lost his entire rookie season with his ACL. Look, Deza Henry, when did he go out last year?
He came back. It was like the second half of last year, and he came back for the playoffs. So I hate that.
I don't know that fucking really counts. You got to think it's Geno. I don't know. I feel like it's Geno or Saquon, but Saquon didn't have, like, was held. The entire team was held to 78 yards last week. But they got a couple of good get right games against the Texans and someone else fucking terrible in the next 2 weeks. So I feel like Saquon could get back onto that. Yeah, Deza doesn't feel like it should be. Is it suitable? Yes, but yes. Geno's come out of nowhere.
The answer to this is nah, because what is Geno coming back from? Obscurity.
Yeah, true.
He was fine.
That's true.
He was healthy.
Fucking nowhere.
He just fucking won the job because he's good and he's better than Drew fucking Luck. So,
all right, nah, fair enough. He's me trying to fucking tear myself in knots.
Drew Luck is just like, oh man, he's gonna win comeback of player. He was just the backup last year. Like,
yeah.
He didn't get hurt anyway. Coach of the year, Nicky Sriracha over I don't know Vrabel. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
Vrabel or Daboll? Yeah.
Oh, Daboll's the other one. Yeah, sorry. Good call.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with yeah, because who the fuck thought this Eagles team having a rebuild last year? I know you've played no one. You've played no one except other one win. The one loss that the 7-1 Vikings have had. But this Nicky Sriracha has taken a team in a full rebuild, second year as a head coach, quarterback in MVP conversation. I'm going to go with yet. Oh. And I'm going to go with the fact that I've got, part of the reason is because I've got the Nicky Sriracha fucking Jalen Hurts double that I bet in like fucking 5 weeks ago.
Good job.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Cliff Kingsbury can still make it right. No.
Your mate. Your fucking mate.
Super Bowl winners, Gaz. Eagles over KC. Yeah, nah.
Look, I think a big thing, I'm still not even convinced that we're going to win the division, right? Because we're only two games ahead of the Cowboys with a Cowboys game at home against Dak, right? That's a very easy one to drop. Plus, we could drop either Titans, Giants. Cowboys have got to play the Vikings, so I'm hoping the Vikings come in hot. I would like them to lose a couple of games before I'm comfortable there. But I think it's if it all goes through Lincoln Financial Field, I'm quite comfortable with the Eagles getting through. I don't know, KC and the Bills, there's that perception of a rebuild team versus one of those two just having that bit more experience when it comes to the big games, right? I'd love to say yes, but I'm going to be biased no matter what I do.
Yeah, well, I mean, the answer is nah, because it'll be the Niners over KC. Biggest loser of the year. Go. Actually, who did I have? I can't remember. I think I Bills Rams before the season. Rams are definitely not going to make it. So
I had the same. Yeah, I had Bills Rams.
Tough seat. Biggest loser of the year. Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. Yeah, nah.
Well, I don't think any of them are crying themselves to sleep over their bank account, considering that Aaron Rodgers coming off an MVP season, signed a massive contract. But I think he had all of this hope and dreams that he could carry no matter what. So I definitely think that's a yeah, because I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers having the biggest loss, because at least Rusty's, he's got that contract to keep him going for the next X amount of years, and they can't get out, like, based on what I've looked into, they're not as easily able to escape that. This is the sort of shit that Aaron Rodgers' pride could be so hurt that he'll just fuck off. Yep. Tom Brady was probably going to fuck off anyway. Like, one more merry-go-round. I can deal without this now. But Aaron Rodgers, yeah, it's just there's a lot more pride hurt, it feels like, in the what's going on in Pac-Town.
Just saying, I don't know, doing psychedelics in South America probably isn't the greatest idea when you're the quarterback of a football team. Look,
I'm all for opening your mind.
I'm all for opening your mind, doing some ayahuasca, but Shit. I don't know. Maybe not if you're getting paid $50 million a year to be the quarterback. Also, the answer to that was yeah, because he literally has lost the most games out of those three guys. So.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about games-wise, but there you go.
You could have easily just gone with like literally, because he has lost more games than Tom Brady and Russell Wilson.
But how's the other one?
Just think about that for a second, though. 3-6, 4-5, 3-5, I think it is. Is that right? Mm. I think Tampa Bay are 4-5, yeah. That is not great for the older crew of quarterbacks.
But you know what's funny, Jimmy? I would just like to draw your attention to this.
It's going to be funny, or I'm going to be very upset.
No, it's not going to be funny at all.
If it's a severed head, I'm going to be very upset.
At 5-4, your New England Patriots are last in the division. And at 4-5, Tom Brady's Bucks are leading their division.
Yeah. Because we play in the AFC Beast. What are you talking about? Anyway. All right, good bloke of the week. Bloke, I want to buy a beer. I love the Vikings celebration. Look, I love a good 10-pin bowl. I do it every year on my birthday. It's the only time I ever do it, but I do love it. Getting shit-faced, throwing a thing down the thing. But the celebration was awesome. It was a Harrison Smith, right? I think he had the touchdown, defensive touchdown. But Jordan Hicks with the sell. After he rolled it in, everyone falls down. He gives it the wobble.
Yep.
The wobble, and he sells it. I love that. I thought it was fucking great. Great little wrinkle. And, of course, Juzzy fucking Fields. I love me some Juzzy Fields.
Anyone with the name Juzzy.
I'm all in on Juzzies. I just feel vindicated for sort of just having that belief because I'm like, I like Justin Fields a lot. I liked him coming to that draft. I was hoping that he'd drop to the Pats with that pick, but we end up with Mac Jones. That's fine. There's no problems there. But, you know, the Ohio State pedigree, I knew it was there. I'd watched a bunch of him in college. And you're like, I just want to see him used properly. And it's like just sort of starting to pop now. You're like, yeah, they're using him properly. This is great. Keep doing this.
But without weapons.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I mean, Claypool, that's kind of handy, but
still.
But yeah, so they lose that game, but look, I don't know. If you're a Bears fan, you've got to be looking at that going, oh, there's a little bit of hope now. That's good.
Yeah.
He might be a guy.
It's not going to be all washed for the next 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Mine. Dan fucking Campbell, Jimmy. It feels like this entire segment was built. Fucking good bloke of the week, bloke you want to buy a beer to. It was built for instances like that where... So sad for so long. I keep referring to the Around the NFL podcast where they would play his fucking post-game press conferences with sad violin music underneath it about how fucking sad it was. Anyway, beats the pack, and his press conference, he just says, I'm so fucking exhausted, I just want to go and drink a beer. And I'm like, fuck yeah, Dan, and I would buy that beer for you. He's a good bloke of the week, the bloke I would buy a fucking beer for.
I love it. Why didn't you pick them last week then? I'm just saying.
I didn't say I was good.
Old mate, no mates. Frankie Reich's old mate, no mates, got shit canned. He's your mate, so he's old mate, no mates. Kirk Cousins, go fuck off. I hate Kirk Cousins. He rips off.
He's on that plane. That shit.
On that plane.
Iced up.
And now I hate him even more because he's kind of ripped. I'm like, fuck you, Kirk Cousins. God damn it. But he has that sort of combo of like Kirk Cousins getting dragged for, you know, shirt off on the plane, all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, you're like, I don't think Kirk Cousins really cares. Fuck. Anyway, Skycam.
You see, before you move on to that, did you see Adam Schefter in the media today? Out on the field with a fucking shirtless.
Ripped as well.
Fucking Schefter.
God damn it. Me sitting here, a fat bastard with no excuse. You love it. Drinking a million beers. Anyway, Skycam was my other old mate, no mates. It's not like it got knocked out of the sky. It just malfunctioned. It was like, hang on a second. It's like, is this the start of like Skynet taking over or something? Like Skycam comes fanging out to take, like, decapitate Josh Allen or some shit. You're like, what the fuck is going on? But it was weird because, like, yeah, they're just like, oh, yeah, it's just a bit broken. It's like, how do you fix it during the game? And they're just like,
Skycam break.
I loved it. Anyway, that was fun. So.
Yeah. For me, you've already taken Frankie. So next in line, next man up, Josh McDaniels. Blown lead to the fucking Jags. Oof. There's something. There was some weird stat that I read today about in the last like 40, 50 years that the Raiders have lost 5 games when leading by 17 or more, and 3 of them have happened this season. It was fucking ridiculous, right? Anyway, so it gets into it with Carr on the sidelines. Carr then said in the press conference afterwards, when asked about what's going wrong with his team, "I don't need to talk about it. There's things that will be addressed, not here." How much are those bus tickets back to the Boston area, do you reckon, Jimmy?
I don't want him. Fuck off.
Well, mine, Matt Patricia. Oh, look, fucking that offense with Matt Patricia's not doing. The other one for me was just a fucking honorable mention was Jalen Ramsey for throwing the entire offense under the bus in his locker, you know, the locker side press conference after the game when they said, you know, about how everything was going. And he's just like, "We just need some dogs who can close this motherfucker out when the defense makes a stop at the end of the fourth quarter." You're like, "Oh, Jesus. All right. No worries, Jalen. Tell us what you really think. Tell us what you think." Yeah, anyway.
It was a rough crowd. Loved it. That's a good one. Strange spot. Oh, no. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Unpopular opinion.
I don't know. We'll just sit Aaron Rodgers. What do you reckon? Just go, Aaron, bro, just go do some more ayahuasca or just like, I don't know, stop being a fucking dickhead for like a week. We'll just fuck off and just sit. Like, maybe tank. I'm just saying. Like, what are you going to do? Like, what are they going to do? Because I'm just like, the Pack, are they going to really, like, they lose Aaron Jones as well? They're running out of fucking, like, footwear rehabilitation boots, I think, at this point, up there in Green Bay. Like, everyone's hurt. They're 3-6. Like, the problem is, they lose, like, 2 more games, and they're basically out of playoff contention.
Yeah.
Because you think about all your teams in the NFC East, like even the Commanders have got more fucking wins than them.
They're not
going to catch.
They're like four games behind the Vikings or something already? Then, they're 4.5 games or something?
Yeah, they can't win they basically won't be able to win that NFC North. They're still tied with like the Bears, which is basically fucking nuts. But you think about it, they're going to have to jump like the Cowboys, the Giants, the Niners are sort of those last sort of 3 playoff teams at the moment. And then you've got teams already ahead of them, like in the Falcons. You've got teams already like tied up with them as like the Rams, the Cards and all this sort of shit. It's just a fucking long way back. So
no chance. Yeah. But look, to be honest, if you let him play it out and he just goes, "Nah, fuck it," and retires, you're kind of off the hook for the rest of the contract, I guess.
If he retires, would you?
Yeah. So you don't have to do it like that and just hand it over. Whereas there's got to be a whole fucking bunch of, like, if he's going, "No, I just don't want to play for this shitty team," well, you're going to have to eat a whole bunch of fucking dead money and trading him or him just being a fucking prick for a couple of years, right? So, you know what? Just let him play it out. Just go, "You know what? You built this." But what does it mean for, like, I mean, Matt LaFleur?
Shines off Matt LaFleur, but I mean, this is the thing. They're still the Packers. You still think, fuck it. You don't want to sit him, but I'm just saying, like, maybe this is the year you just go, "Right, Aaron, we're just going to tank this once. Just chill out, bro. Oh, did your calf hurt? What do you reckon? Sit the fuck down."
All right, I'm going to add one to this. Philly needs to hire Frank Reich immediately and bring the fucking boy home, Jimmy.
I think they're doing
bring
right.
him home.
I think they're doing all right without him, guys.
Nah, but look, I
do you really want some of that indie stink on you at the moment? I don't want.
Nah,
I made a fuck that.
I made a post about this actually, asking for opinions on Eagles Australia, like about an hour before I came onto this, and we've got Vic Fangio as a defensive consultant, and it's pretty. We've got a top 10 offense and defense, so the chance that Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon are at least one of them are still around next year are probably minimal. So having Frank Reich, who's worked with, you know, Nicky Sriracha, to just sit as a consultant in the background for the rest of the season and have someone who knows the system ready to go. Probably not the worst fucking thing in the world, as long as he doesn't get that indie stink all over the
That's what I'm saying. I just don't want that anyway. You're right. No, I don't need that fucking shit indie-ness near me. Yeah, like, I'm out. Anyway, Australian spotty, big dick energy, big Michael Dixon. Good to see him in that. So that Seahawks game, they barely needed to use him, right? He only punted three times.
I only saw highlights.
He scored so much. But he had a great, he was just pumping it some of these times. He had a great 57-yarder that was just perfect, where I think, yeah, lands basically inside their own five, really, just like fucked Arizona up. And it's like, yep, perfect. Yep. That's how you really give your team back a bit of momentum. And great job by Michael Dixon. Love to see it. Love to see it. What about our back takeouts? The voice is a bit too fucked this week, but I don't know. How about you go and have one of these wombat pies? That's right. I just found something on the ground. Might be a wombat. Chucked into a fucking pie. Only. At our back. Today's flame grill take is fucking Jordan Love could throw three interceptions and not beat the Lions. So why the fuck are the Packers paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million to throw three deceptions and not beat the Lions? Only at Outback. It's a question, Gaz.
I'm pretty sure I reposted a comment, like a post on from Twitter saying exactly that on our facey this week, saying that Jordan Love or pretty much any other quarterback could underthrow his receivers and throw three picks just as well as Aaron Rodgers for a lot less fucking money. You're a bit right. I mean, it all ties back into your sitting Aaron Rodgers comment, right? Like,
my thing is, watching that game, you're like, he just does not look good. Like, he looked objectively fucking bad.
That Aiden Hutchinson fucking interception, like throwing an interception to a defensive lineman there, right? Like,
not ideal.
It makes no sense. Yeah. It absolutely makes no sense.
All right, let's fly through the rest of this. Captain Fantasy, as I mentioned, I alluded to it. I got by Brett down the stretch today by, you know, just by Kenyon Drake, which stunk. It was like I didn't feel great going into it because I think he had Alvin Kamara as well. But Kamara didn't really do too much, which sucked for me with some betting stuff. But and I lost fantasy. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I'm doing all right, mate. I'm doing all right. Gaz is your mate Gaz who can't tip for shit, but apparently can play a little bit of fantasy. I've taken a one-game lead at the top of the NFL Australia division after the positions 2, 3, and 4 all lost today. So I'm a little bit clear. That's nice to be able to do that. I've never won fantasy, so fingers crossed I'm doing all right. Anyway,
yourself, Jesus. Not, you're just like the Eagles. You're 7-2. You fucking you already won your Super Bowl. Settle down there, bruv. Settle down. All right, let's do some picks for next week. We've got an absolute barn burner for Friday. Atlanta at Carolina. Oh, geez. How are the Falcons only 3.5-point favorites in this, Gaz?
Yeah, I had no. Yep. Do we even know who's fucking starting? We know that PJ's Walker's benched, right? I think it's been Baker. And then Darnold was probably the week after. I've got no idea. I would feel that, particularly with Corderell, come straight back in, a couple of TDs. They're starting to use Pitts again. I fucking know, man. I would like to think that Carolina's going to take a big L for like way more than 3.5 points in this.
It's crazy. I don't know. It always worries me when that line is that low. Like, yeah.
Do you know that we don't?
Yeah, Atlanta's on the road. Like, what are you actually? Yeah, there's something a bit squirrely about it. But at the same time, Carolina is so objectively shit out. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Atlanta minus 3.5 in a heartbeat. Seattle at Tampa Bay. This one's over in Germany. Yes, we like to do football. Seattle, plus 2.5. I'm going the Bayern Seahawks. Because they're a better team than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, I can't. I just cannot picture those guys putting up points enough to go with what Seattle's doing at the moment. And the Seattle defense has been a lot better than what the Rams actually are, right? Like, Ramsey's good in that secondary, but everyone else in that Rams secondary has been I guess, pretty fucking shit. Seattle's playing quite more aggressively. So I think Seattle will take this one down.
There are two teams in the NFL on top of their division with a minus point differential. We mentioned the Titans. The other one is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, there you go.
Not great. Jacksonville, they play Kansas City. KC, 9.5-point favorites. That's a lot, but also not that much because Jacksonville are bad.
Yeah.
Not good. Maybe okay. I don't know. This was a bit fucky to me, but 9.5, I'm like, actually, I think that's all right. Kansas City just equal out at home over the Titans. They stay home. I think they win by 10 at least. So, yeah. Happy there.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think, you know, the Jacksonville team that went quickly down 17-0 to Vegas, they're not... these Chiefs don't let them come back like that, so...
Yep. Checks out. Houston, they go to the Meadowlands to play the New York Giants. They're 6.5-point underdogs. We've both gone Houston. I think this is more about Houston playing teams tough and the Giants never really sort of blowing anybody out, right?
Well, everything that both teams... This is the single score Giants, whether they've won or lost. Everything's been single score. And Houston have hung around tough, right? So I just think... don't get me wrong. I think the Giants will squeak this one out, but I think 6.5 points is a bit much to give away.
Yep, me too. Chicago, they're 2.5-point favorites at home against Detroit. This is actually a big one for one of my sneaky bets. Which I think was the exact order of the NFC North, which I had Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago.
Okay.
So I think I want Detroit to win this, but we both picked Chicago, so I might fuck myself here. Anyway, go the Bears. They've just looked like more of a complete team of late. At home, I don't know, do you think they just ride a little bit more of that sort of, hey, we're actually not too bad? Whereas Detroit actually got a win last week, but Chicago have proven that over the last 3 weeks they can actually score points, right?
Yeah, and I just feel I'm not ready to put any belief in the false economy that is the Lions' defense.
Yeah,
right. I don't think that keeping the pack out, you know, is anything worth writing home about. Whereas Detroit have shown a little bit of spice, as we said. So look, I think, and that add that at home, and I'm going to give this to Chicago.
Love it. Me too. Miami, they are home to Cleveland. We've both gone... oh, actually, I've skipped one, sorry. Keep talking that one. Miami hosts Cleveland. We've both gone Miami -3.5. Cleveland, this also feels like it might be the sort of playbook that they whipped out against the Bengals, right? Mm-hmm. Run at him some more, hope that Jacoby Brissett's okay. I just think Miami are a little bit better defensively than the Bengals are at the moment. And offensively, they're way fucking better. So, yeah, I'll take the 3.5. Even though Miami didn't cover this week with the 3-point win over Chicago. So, but at home, they should be right.
Give Brad Chubb an extra week of, I don't know, to actually become acclimatized. Some of those moves that they made, put a little bit of put a little spice in that defense. To keep Chubb out. And I mean, they're going to make that secondary. They're always going to make that secondary of the Browns earn it. So I think 3.5 points, I'm happy to take Miami on that one.
Pittsburgh, they host New Orleans. You've gone New Orleans. After what I watched today, there's like, there's no fucking chance I'm taking New Orleans. Pittsburgh, a week off on the bye, 2.5-point underdogs at home. Give me the home dogs. Mike Tomlin, light a fire under their ass. The Saints just look like a fucking mess. This might be the one game that Kenny Pickett doesn't suck in. I'm trying to talk myself into it, Gaz. Trying to talk myself into it. I just don't like, and I can't trust New Orleans. I just can't.
Yeah, I was trying to get away from that, the primacy effect where the thing that you saw the recency effect where the thing that you saw last is the thing that sticks in your mind. I have to go back to 2 weeks ago when I saw the Eagles play at Steelers team, and they were fucking horrible, right? They moved around the ball around easy, like, early. I just feel that the New Orleans defense might tighten in on... they're not playing the Titans. Not tighten in that way. But tighten up on that on the Steelers, and I don't know. Can the Red Rifle just do enough with Kamara and Olave? I don't know. I was trying to talk my way into one of these teams and be convinced about it, but neither one. I'm going with New Orleans, mate.
All right. You're going to make back some of these picks somehow. Buffalo, yeah. They host Minnesota, 6.5-point favorites. I've gone Buffalo. I think there's a bounce back here. I think it's a good time to lose that Jets game, but I mean, this is the weird thing with Buffalo. They also then sort of tend to have like these weird stretches when they lose a couple in a row. But at home, I just don't think that fan base against fucking Kirk Cousins and Minnesota will let them win. Like Minnesota on the road again, just nah, give me Buffalo.
There's a massive asterisk next to my pick of Minnesota, and that is my assumption based on how concerned Sean McDermott sounded that Josh Allen is out.
Yeah. Well, if he's out, so I'd probably go Minnesota as well. So.
Exactly, right? So both one of us is most likely going to flip on this because I agree with you. If Josh Allen's in, they're playing that strength. Buffalo's going to come out and with a bit of fire and that loss bounce back that big teams have. But no Josh Allen. I think, that's a big asterisk on this one.
It is. Denver, Tennessee. Denver, 2.5-point underdogs on the road in Nashville. You've gone Tennessee. I've gone Denver. I just think let's ride. That Denver defense, even with, like, you know, sacrificing some elements there.
Elements? It's Brad fucking Chubb, mate.
I just think that
they're leading sack hold up this year. Right?
Denver are just... Like, their defense, I think, is going to be better than this Titans defense. And I think it just sort of comes down to, like, their Denver offense will just find a little something. I hated this game, though. It's like, I just have to, trust the Denver defense doesn't suck and they can win this one. So if I'm getting points, then boom, off we go.
Do we know who's going to start at quarterback for
Tennessee? It's Tannehill. I don't know. I don't actually feel better about that, to be honest. I'm like...
No.
I feel like the Denver defense would be like, fucking cool, Tannehill, sweet. On one leg.
It was funny. I was watching one of the Get Up or whatever it was this morning, and it was they were interviewing Keyshawn Johnson, and as that kind of the talk back, and there was someone else was saying that if Tannehill had been in, that they would have beaten the Chiefs, and they're like, and Keyshawn's like, who gives a fuck, mate? It could have been me handing off to number 22. It could have been, like, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to hand off to Derrick Henry. It doesn't need to be Malik Willis. Doesn't need to be Ryan Tannehill. I don't have as big a faith in the Denver defense now. I'd be interested to see how they come back after that, after the bye, and what Rusty's going to do, mate. He can't be this mediocre shit for the rest of the season. But I think Tennessee kept it close and hard this week. So I'm just going to put a little bit of faith in them at home.
Nice one. Indy at Las Vegas. Nah. I feel like we should just punt this one in the sun.
I literally have tipped what the fuck. I honestly have no idea. Nor do I care.
Dead coach bounds. Jonathan Taylor, who knows?
Yep.
Ellinger, Vegas. You got to go Vegas. -6.5. But that's like almost way too many points. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I've gone Vegas.
I'm going to reassess this pick when I know whether Jonathan Taylor's going to come back and whether they're just going to just fucking hand it off to him for 45 plays this week.
You're just going to hope that I forget. Rams host the Cards. Oh, the Rams stink. They're 2.5-point favorites at home. Arizona, look, I can't trust them. Kyler Murray's 0-2 since the new Call of Duty came out. So let's go Rams. You've gone Arizona.
Yeah, look, as I said, their secondary can't cover, and at least, we've got D. I'm just trying to, once again, talk my way into picking someone, because both of them have been severely underwhelming this whole season, right?
The Rams have got the Super Bowl hangover from hell, but if they lose this game, that's their season cooked.
That's done. That's cooked.
Like, they've lost. Yep. That'd put them at 3-6. Cards and the Niners and the Seahawks all above them. Two games against the Seahawks still to come. The Rams season just be done.
It would. Yeah.
It'd be Packer up. So I feel like McVay, this is the kitchen sink Winds vibe. Away. So, yep.
He looked, did you see him at the end of that Tampa Bay game? He looked fucking deflated. Like he was ready to retire then.
Yeah, he's like, where's that Amazon money? Fuck, can I go partner with Al Michaels? What the fuck?
Yep, exactly. So, no, I'm going Arizona. I feel like they've got to show something. It could be just that game that they just pull out of fucking nowhere, out of their ass. They're playing away. They're not at home, so they don't have that fucking curse going on.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Green Bay host Dallas, which is hilarious. After all the shit talk I've given to Green Bay, I've taken Green Bay plus 5.5. I just can't trust Dallas at the moment. There's just something a bit weird in and out, week in, week out of that, about this Dallas team. Like, sometimes they look incredible. Sometimes they look shit. And I feel like there's all this Green Bay just shittiness. We'll just make this a weird fucking game in Green Bay. Getting 5.5 points on at home. I got to take it. I'm like, sit Aaron Rodgers. Fuck him. He's an idiot.
But I'll take the points.
Yeah, look, there's an element for me of I don't particularly like, well, I fucking hate the Cowboys, and I don't particularly like Mike McCarthy, but he got kind of emotional thinking about the times back in, like what he liked most about Green Bay, and it wasn't ever going to be, if there's ever going to be a time where he can just fucking hand Green Bay their ass, you know, like in a weakened state, with Dak only 3 weeks back, coming fresh off the bye, I think Dallas just take him to town.
I think you're underestimating the chance that Mike McCarthy might just be spending the entire week thinking about deep fried cheese curds. And
that's true.
That's what he misses the most about Green Bay. He's just like, oh, he's just drooling. His brain is just like comatose, more so than usual.
Gary's gone out with an ACL, not this one, the one that plays for Green Bay. Aaron Jones in a walking boot. Doob's got fucking the Doob Meister, Romeo. The fucking joint beast himself, got carted off. Like they're a fucking mash unit, right? So, but you're right. It's Aaron Rodgers. Who the fuck knows?
But I'm still gonna take Dallas.
I'm still gonna take Dallas.
I think this is me just taking the piss but anyway. Chargers, Niners, we've both got Niners minus 6.5. They're good. A week off, dude's coming back from injury. Niners are like my sneaky Super Bowl pick. So at the moment, halfway through, just a bit of a run there, I think.
Don't forget the couple of the little crazy plays that they did in the last couple of weeks with McCaffrey. I've got McCarthy on the brain. With McCaffrey, with his, you know, the triple threat shit. All that was done without Debo.
Yeah.
Debo's coming back as well this week. And you're like, that just adds another fucking Swiss Army knife. They haven't played at full strength, knowing the playbook together yet. And you're just like, oh, this could be bad for everyone who is not named the San Francisco 49ers, right? So 6.5 might actually, this could be a fucking whitewash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they could.
Keenan Allen might be coming back, but he doesn't seem anywhere like.
The Chargers just keep losing more and more dudes.
It's not fucking great.
It's just, that's definitely a loss. And then the last one, Monday Night Football. You guys get a massive extra bit of a rest as well. You're playing Monday, Washington at Philly.
Yeah.
Washington, 10.5 point underdogs. I've gone the Commanders. Again, this is just the Houston lesson. 10.5 points. Commanders defense isn't too bad. I think Eagles will win, but it's by 8 or 9 or something. Or 10. It'll be by 10. It'll 100% be by 10.
I've always been a pessimist when it comes to the line, when it comes to the Eagles, particularly if we get a lot of points. But I've got to play the hot hand, Jimmy, right?
That didn't cover last week, guys.
Yeah, but remember, come on. We were coming off, 4 days? And now we've had that extra. It's almost like a week and a half at it, like, because we've gone from the Thursday night game to the Monday night game. So it's almost like another extra little bye. And we're coming home and playing the Heineken. So, look, I'm gonna put it on us to cover this one.
I like it. The buys this week, we've got Cincy, the Pats, thank God. I think we just needed that one. The Jets and the Ravens.
Funny thing to raise for me to remember next week, add this as a star that got flagged to me. The biggest curse going on in the NFL at the moment is the Panthers. Every team this season who has played the Panthers, no matter what the result, has lost the following week.
Jesus.
And since he beat the absolute fucking tar off them this week, but then went straight into the bye. Next week, remember, we got a tip against Cincy.
that just means Cincy's just going to be unbeaten for the rest of the season.
Oof.
Right. I went 9 of 13 last week.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
My Eagles fucked you, clearly.
Yes,
missed
they did.
Missed the spread.
They fucked us both, actually. You got 6. Yep. So, adding to my burgeoning total, 15 ahead now. 76 to 61, Jimmy leads.
Wow. I did some quick maths before, and I'm currently at just under 7 a week, and I need to be at something like 7.4 to be at 50% 500. So, my tipping against the line this year, not fucking great.
I think we're doing all right, considering it's Tuesday.
Anyway, that is true. A lot happens between now and then. And I don't change my picks for the rest of the week. Just, Jimmy, just a flag.
Well, I mean, but the thing is, the picks...
And I don't live and breathe fucking tipping. I don't have a fucking... I'm not paid that sweet, sweet Murdoch money, mate.
The point being, I don't change my NFL Australia picks. Like, I talk myself in and around into other new picks, and like that's what I've talked about, right? Like if I combine my column on Thursday or Friday with my NFL Australia, I'd be like 100%.
Oh right, okay.
Of missing, like I'd be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I take all the ones that I nail on Tuesday and then completely fuck it by Friday. So. Anyway, nice all right, one. We're good. That's it for week 9 of NFL Australia. Don't forget we're weekly. We do this all the time, bruv. That's all we do. Check us a follow on your facey Twitter IGs. Get right around that. Gaz has promised to be all up and around as much as he can. What he does. Bang us a rating and review on your iTunes, Apple Podcast, or your podcast apps. However you do it. Come on. We don't ask you too much. Just check us a rating and review, would you? Love it. Big thanks go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go listen to their album. They're awesome. Get around NBA Australia. A couple times a week at the moment, as we're still figuring out the schedule. We've got a 6-week-old baby in the house, so it'd be tough in the moment.
It would be nice if it was yours, Jimmy.
I shouldn't have. Just
ringing home random babies from the supermarket. It's grabbing it not from a good hobby.
Come with me. Anyway, get around CodeBet. Good website, that one. Fox Sports Lab NBA with myself. Ben Dixon, Carlos Boozer, good times.
Hey, mates.
Gaz, what do you want to plug?
Mate, Eagles Australia is kicking off. A bit of interaction at the moment. Obviously, I'm going to try and organise a little bit more of the social part of it, catching up with Eagles fans. Everyone else who's listening to this is going, oh, for fuck's sake, who lets them all get together? They're only going to breed. Anyway. Bit of fun for Eagles Australia. I'm sometimes doing a podcast. It's irregular because, like, I'm getting old and irregular is a thing, apparently. So, that's how we roll.
Love it. All right, good shit. There you go. Dunskies, pack her up.
Wow. We thought, you know, we were trying to do these things shorter, Jimmy, and we've just hit an hour and 20.
All right.
28 minutes.
It was an interesting week, Gaz. Interesting week.
It was a good week. It was a fun week. It was a good chat. Good chatting to you, Jimmy.
All right, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See yous.